contributions program is called.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to make councillors aware of the allocations that have been made to the December round of the Grants and Contributions program. You'll see in the report that there are some there's a second recommendation for councillors this evening, which is around the change process for the Grants and Contributions program. This is in direct relation to the investigation report that was released by the local government inspectorate in November of last year, and it recommends that to ensure that the Grants and Contributions program is fully transparent, the officers actually make the allocations, and they do so under a really clear policy that we already have in place. And so this report this evening gives details of three allocations that the officers have made in December. The first one from the community projects and events stream is for Ensemble Golden Tree. This event has attracted a $1,000 allocation, and it will seek to support a mixed chamber music ensemble who will present 360 to 90 minute chamber music concerts at Marysville Information and Regional Art Space, so MIRA, and that event's happening in autumn this year. The second allocation that was made was for the Whittlesea Community Connections Group, and that's to support the TAC L2P program in Kinglake and surrounding area. So this program will support disadvantaged young people to obtain their licence. It'll be based in and around Kinglake. That has a project value of $34,000, just over $34,000, and the committee recommended a $4,000 contribution to that program. The third application that we received was from a business called Skillowitz, which is a primary school-oriented physical education app for teachers, children and parents, and that assists children to master fundamental motor skills. The applicant was really after some support to access some training and education, including some business coaching that he felt would really help him to accelerate the benefits of his business to the Shire. So officers have approved that application for $1,740. That's a total of $6,740 for the month of December, and it brings the total grants and contributions for the first half of the calendar year to $42,303,000. Just like to note that over the next couple of months we're expecting a good number of business and tourism events applications. We've got a couple of them underway in the system, and we had a very successful information session last night with seven businesses attending. So the officer recommendation is on page 13 for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Any questions of councillors? Somebody like to propose a resolution to Councillor Lloyd?
My motion is to accept the officer's recommendation.
Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Ray. Would you like to speak to the motion, Councillor Ray?
I think this is a really great thing. It sort of was a bit stillborn at the start, but we've massaged it and we've made it rather nice now, and I think it's going to go ahead well. Thank you.
Councillor Wright, would you like to speak to the motion? Anybody else like to speak to the motion? Question is, in the motion they agree to, all those in favour? Against? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on, item 11.1, variation of delegation to term and planning applications. Mr. Chesswood.
Good evening, councillors. So this report is seeking your endorsement to increase the delegated powers of officers to issue a planning permit in cases where a single objection has been received without requiring that planning application to come before council for resolution. So under the current delegations, planning officers can decide to issue a planning permit if an application has received no objections. If one or more objections are received, or the officer's recommendation is to refuse the permit, then officers are not delegated to resolve that. It must come before council to make that final decision. And just to note that the delegations relating to planning are listed as a part of a series of delegations called the S6 Instruments of Delegation, and it's that instrument that we are talking about in terms of having it modified. So within that document, the current wording around this delegation is that the power to refuse a permit application or to determine an application for which objections have been lodged and not withdrawn is not delegated. So it's not delegated to officers. The reason why we're suggesting that the delegation be lifted is firstly, already most of the applications, some two-thirds of them that we receive, already been determined by officers without the need to refer them to council. So firstly, officers are accustomed to assessing and determining applications. Of those that are referred to council, the majority of those are because one or more objections have been received. And of that group, the majority are single objection applications. So when we look at the decision-making process on those, in every situation since 2017, and there's been some 14 of these, the council's decision has always been in support of the officer's recommendation. So there's no evidence to suggest that the extra oversight by council is making any difference to the outcome and the decisions being made for these particular type of planning applications. The other reason is that when you look at the delegations at neighbouring municipalities, so we looked at Mansfield, Mitchell, Burnell and Strathbone, on average the trigger for applications to come before council where there has been objections is where there's been five objections received. So the threshold is a lot lower here at Murrindindi than is typical across neighbouring councils. And when you consider the extra requirements, both for the applicants in terms of the time frame before a decision is made, and the onus on the applicant and or the objector to perhaps attend a council meeting as well to present their case, but also the extra administrative load on officers in preparing briefing documents and preparing council reports, the evidence would suggest that more efficiency would be created if the delegation was lifted. So I just want to make the point, it's not proposed to change the delegation where the officer assessment is to refuse the planning application, so in those cases the application can still come before council. We have noted in the report that council could consider the option of calling in applications if it so desires. That's something for council to consider if it has concerns with respect to this process, but bear in mind someone who's objecting to an application, a decision that's ultimately made, does in most cases have the opportunity to pursue an appeal through VCAT if not happy with the decision. So, just to be clear, what we're proposing, therefore, is to change the wording that I read out earlier by modifying the S6 delegation. And the new wording is the power to refuse a permit application or determine an application for which two or more objections have been lodged and not withdrawn is not delegated. And that's contained in the officer recommendation before you tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. Are there any questions for councillors? Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. Then would I like to propose a resolution to this matter? Councillor Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I would like to propose the recommendation together with an amendment to add an additional clause.
Could you please say
and the additional clause would read, so the four clauses as in the officer recommendation would stand, and the addition, I'm recommending the addition of a clause 5, which says, Council does not endorse the calling in of single objective planning applications by councillors for council decision as suggested in the officer's report, as this could lead to inequity and potentially introduce individual bias or interest into the application assessment process.
Do we have a second for that motion? Councillor McCauley. Councillor Rowe, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, just briefly if I could. I trust that the amended clause is self-explanatory, but the reason for that is I think it's really based in terms of equity, that the delegation to officers I totally support. In every case in the past, and I've done a review of the applications and approvals, we have supported officers in their determination where there's been a single objector, and I believe it's absolutely within their professional capacity that they should and ought to be looking at those applications. But in terms of council being able to call in specified applications from time to time, I believe would lead to at least a perception of inequity and a perception of some sort of bias within the process, and maybe even to undue pressure happening from other avenues, and I would not like to see that happen, and therefore I propose the amendment. Thank you.
I'd like to propose another amendment, and that is the explanation that you read out earlier. Do you remember it? It explained it a bit better.
Through the chair, I'm unclear whether that's a question directed to me in relation to the motion that the wording.
I fully accept what the councillor has said, but you did make a clarifying statement earlier, and I was wondering whether we could include that.
Through the chair, if I may ask, is that in relation to the issue around the powers that are being lifted, or is it to do with the calling in of applications?
No, not to do with calling in.
Right.
Do you remember that? Sorry.
Is that all right? Is it in, are you trying to clarify that it's because it's in the wording of the officer's report that that's why it's...
It was really good, because what you said explained the, what I call, legal speak nicely. But anyway, I can't remember the wording. It was perfect, but I'll withdraw this request.
Well, I'll deal with the motion that's before us at the moment. I'll take that as a foreshadowed motion.
That's fine.
Councillor McCauley, would you like to speak to the motion as proposed by Councillor Ray?
No, I think that's been well covered. Thank you very much.
Would anybody else like to speak to the motion as proposed by Councillor Ray?
I would. I think it's quite good.
Anybody else? The question is that the motion be agreed to. All those in favour? Carried unanimously.
Can I propose to suspend standing orders briefly, just to clarify the point of Councillor Rorty?
I don't remember.
Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor McCauley, all those in favour?
Resume standing orders.
Do we have a second for that? Councillor Rorty, all those in favour? Okay, moving on. 11.2, transfer of land at 174 Grand Street, Alexandra, to the Alexandra Scout School. Mr. Chesswood.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors will be familiar with this matter. Council had previously resolved through a planning process to agree to the subdivision of council land of 174 Grand Street to create two lots, and the purpose of that subdivision is to enable the scouts to develop a new facility on one of those lots. And at the November ordinary meeting of council in 2019, council did resolve its intent to transfer that lot, the ownership of that lot, to the Scouts group. In order for that to occur, we needed to go through a statutory process which has involved obtaining a valuation of the land, and that value is at $130,000. That we give public notice of the proposed transfer of land, which we have in accordance with the Local Government Act, and that we invite and consider any submissions from the public in relation to Council's intent. I can say that no submissions were received, so therefore the Council has met all of its statutory responsibilities and is now able to make the final decision as listed in your agenda, noting that no public submissions were received following the public notice period. Also recognising that the transfer of the lot comes with a nominal sum of $11, so in other words, council is gifting this land to the South Victoria through the Alexander Scout Group, and to authorise the CEO to sign all documents and undertake all administrative processes in respect of the transfer of land.
Mr. Cheshire, is there any questions of councillors? Someone like to propose a resolution to Councillor Ray. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Ray?
I'd like to propose the motion as recommended by officers.
Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Bowles. Councillor Ray, would you like to speak to the motion?
Only to say I'm delighted to see this come to fruition.
Councillor Bowles, would you
like to speak? I concur with Margaret.
Would anybody else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Lordy.
Last week I was needed some more tables and chairs with the job I was doing last week, and I went down to the big scouting centre down in South Dandenong, I think it was, and just on picking those tables up, I mentioned that I was from Alexander, from up this way, and they were so excited about the possibility of getting this land. So it really is heartwarming that we're doing this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else on? Councillor, would you like to close?
Yes, thank you.
The question is, the motion they agree to, all those in favour? Motion carried unanimously. Item 11.3, Public Interest Disclosure Policy Review.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This item before Council deals with an existing policy that Council has, which was called the Protected Disclosure Policy, which relates to what people will be more familiar with the terminology whistleblowing, and there is an act that provides protection for, legal protection for people who may disclose corrupt or misconduct amongst by public officers in public office. That legislation was recently changed to the Public Interest Disclosure Act, and those changes broaden some of the definitions around what constitutes corrupt behaviour and misconduct in public office, and it also created more flexibility for people who want to make a disclosure to be able to make those disclosures through various integrity agencies or through council. In order to reflect the legislative changes in our policy, we've revised the policy, which is now called the Public Interest Disclosure Policy. We've updated the definitions to allow the broader range of disclosures of improper conduct. The roles and responsibilities in the policy have been reviewed and improved definitions and accountability. And we've established improved contact arrangements for people who may want to place a disclosure with council. So all those things have been updated in the policy. It's before you tonight. There's a recommendation. The council endorses the public interest disclosure policy as contained in attachment 11.3.
Thank you, Mr. Chesburn. Are there any questions of councillors? Someone would like to propose a resolution to this matter. Councillor McCauley, do you have a second? Sorry, Councillor McCauley.
As for the officer recommendation.
Do we have a seconder? Councillor Lord. Councillor Gordon, do you like to speak to the motion?
No, just that I'm really pleased that we're so fast to respond to legislative requirements, particularly when it removes barriers for disclosures and as a result increases transparency and accountability of public officials. So well done, officers.
Yeah, just looking at the recent past, at the sort of things that were going on in some councils, I'm very pleased to see that this is happening. Thank you.
Anybody else like to make comment on this matter? Councillor McCauley, I'd like to close. The question is that the motion be agreed to. All those in favour? Motion carried unanimously. Notices of motions?
No received, isn't it?
Matters deferred from the previous meeting.
Is there any?
No urgent business. Thank you. Councillor reports. Councillor McCauley.
I get to say quickly again, Happy New Year to everybody. A very brief update on activity over the break. Officers have continued to work over the new year on the draft budget for 2020-21. Advertising for the vacant position on the Audit and Risk Advisory Committee has commenced. The information is available on our website, planning is an application form for interested community members. Community planning meetings have already begun again this year with the Tulangi Group meeting on Monday night already to organise their meeting, to organise their Tulangi Castello community dinner on the 27th of February at 6:30 at the CJ Dennis Hall. The Yay community planning dinner event is scheduled for the Monday, February the 10th at 6 p.m. at the Yay Shire Hall, and the Marysville community dinner is scheduled for the 12th of March at 6 p.m. at the Marysville Community Centre. All people who live, work, play, study, volunteer or are otherwise connected to these respective areas, I encourage you to come along and help determine the key goals and visions for each of the community plans. This is a great opportunity to get together for dinner and see how each community can bring together all of the consultations that have been gained over the last 12 months. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Rush.
No report this month.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding waste, funding has been approved for development of an e-waste collection facility at the current Gay RRC, an upgrade to the weighbridge at the Alexandra landfill, incorporating the supply and installation of a new boom gate, will ensure that trucks cannot bypass the weighing station. This installation will improve site security and provide even more accurate data collection. As part of the waste education program, the Yay Library hosted Attack of the Plastic Time Monsters. The live show targeted primary school aged children, I was waiting for it, with messages about reducing plastic consumption and was well attended. And recycling. Just when I become a director of one of the waste wards, the place falls apart. It is general knowledge that a major recycler has stopped accepting recycling material as of last Monday, as in 2 days ago. This immediately affects 10 nearby councils with the serious concern that this material will need to go into landfill. Stockpiling recycling material has proved to be very dangerous, as evidenced by the numerous fires in recycling plants recently, some 12 of them. Other recyclers are considering similar actions since the value of the recycling material has recently decreased markedly, especially with cardboard and other recycled paper materials. These recycled papers need to be diluted with new material to make quality recycled paper and high quality recycled cardboard. Since the source of new material has been decimated by the East Gippsland fires, there is a much smaller demand for the recycled portion, resulting in the value of recyclable cardboard dropping to near zero. In fact, I checked today, it is zero. The good news is that our Shire has not been affected as we continue to work closely with Visy in a partnering environment. So please keep doing your best to recycle the goods correctly and be very careful not to pollute or contaminate the items in your recycling bin in any way. If we continue to be model recyclers, we can bask in the knowledge that we are doing our very best for the future of our planet. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Warner. Councillor Bissett.
No report, thank you.
Councillor Bowles.
No environment report today. Did have a lovely lunch though with the Yay Library friends of. But just like to say that how honoured I am at the amount of support that the Murrindini Shire residents and officers have actually been given the fire-affected regions in East Gippsland and Toowong. It's very amazing to see. It's we know what it's like.
Thank you, Councillor Bowles. Councillor Wright.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, first of all, welcome everybody to a new decade. I don't really have a lot to report on this month. It's been a very quiet month, and I hope that everyone's managed to find some downtime to recharge the batteries for what will be a very busy year to come. This being the final year of this council term is an important one. Not only do we have to consolidate and finalise many of the projects and initiatives we have set in motion over the past 3 years, but we also need to carefully consider the stage that we set for a new incoming council. My thoughts, like so many others over the break, have predominantly been with those facing the devastating bushfires and drought. It is very hard to relax when you know firsthand what so many people are going through. My heart goes out to all of them, all of those that have been affected, and my most sincere condolences to those who have lost loved ones. There is nothing I can say to ease their pain, and the overwhelming sense of helplessness is palpable. The road to recovery from the disasters will be a very long one, and we, perhaps more so than others, having experienced the fires of 2009, know that only too well. That experience, however, places us in a prime position to help, to share our experiences and offer our support. And I'm sure I speak for everyone when I say, help we will. Sorry.
Thank you. So I'm going to focus on the fires as well. So as the Mayor has stated, council officers have been actively supporting other councils impacted by the recent fire. There's no doubt that the experiences of council during the 2009 fires have caused us to ensure that we have a good depth of knowledge and experience in emergency management in Murrindini. This has allowed us to provide support to Gippsland and North East Victorian fires. I've been actively engaged in discussions with the Emergency Management Commissioner, the Chief Executive Officer of Bushfire Recovery Victoria and others to see how we can support those affected communities. During my leave, Acting CEO Michael Chesworth visited Tawarn Council with other CEOs to provide background on our Shire's recovery from the 2009 fires and again offer our support. It's pleasing that we've been able to provide some staff to support the following roles. A Community Safety Officer to East Gippsland, and that was to backfill some of their staff that had been directly fire impacted themselves. Community Safety Officer to Wayne Garatta to support their Animal Evacuation Centre. And two Municipal Emergency Response Officers, so that's a very responsible role, working directly in the Incident Control Centres. We brought in the middle of the fires up in Tawarn, so that was fantastic. We'll continue to provide support to the fire-affected councils as their needs emerge. I'd like to thank our staff that represented us and their families for letting them go, as well as our other staff that volunteered. I mean, a huge number of our staff put their hands up to volunteer, and that sometimes wasn't needed, but it was fantastic they offered. And also to all the other staff that stepped in to cover those that were away as well, so thank you.
Thank you. Moving on, assemblies of councillors. Would somebody like to move the notes and records of assemblies of councillors for the 12th of December 2019 to the 9th of January 2020 be received? Councillor Lordy, second of Councillor Ray. Request to use information be agreed to, all those in favour. See the way just plugging in confidential items. Council will now move to the confidential part of this meeting. The Local Government Act 1989, section 89-2, allows council to resolve to close a meeting to the public to consider confidential information. The range of matters which can be considered confidential items is listed in the published agenda. Where possible, Council will resolve to make public any decision it makes in a closed meeting where the resolution does not disclose confidential information. There may, however, be occasions where Council did not make its decision public. Thank you for attending tonight's Council meeting, and now I ask you to leave the Council chamber.